Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thanks again to Joe DeCamera for coming and joining us for an hour. His book, The Best of Philly Sports, Amazing Moments and Stories in Philadelphia Sports History, available on Amazon right now. He wrote it himself. It only took him 10 years to write a 160-page book, but he wrote it nonetheless. Joining us now, he usually joins us at 4, but 4:30 this week. You can hear him on the Believe in Eagles podcast every week with Lee Mayock. That is the great Mike Mayock. Mike, thanks for accommodating us today with the slight time change, and thank you for joining us as well.
My pleasure. What's happening?
Well,
what's up, Mike?
Low pressure week, you know. Eagles 6-2 and heading to the bye, so we don't have to worry about a game this weekend. Off the top, you know, the trade the Eagles made for Michael Carter II, the slot corner for the Jets. How do you think that, you know, we've been pretty accustomed to seeing Cooper DeJean in that spot? How do you think that fits for them moving forward and the calculus for the rest of the year with the cornerback situation with the Eagles?
It's really intriguing because I get a kick out of watching Vic Fangio's press conference every week. And I'm sure you guys talked about what he said earlier this week prior to the trade about that position.
Yep.
In Cooper DeJean. And basically, what he said makes a ton of sense. Like, you got a guy playing at a really high level, at a very difficult position, and if you kick him outside, he might not be quite as effective or impactful, I think is the word Vic used, because he's not involved as much.
Yep.
Right? The outside corners are not involved as much as nickels are, who have run fits as much as they have pass responsibilities. So if you take this kid from the Jets, who's predominantly an inside player, a nickel, and a good nickel, and you move Cooper outside full time, you take a chance at really, you know, not helping yourself significantly and maybe even hurting yourself. So I'm guessing that Joe Douglas, who was the Jets GM, you know, had a lot of background with Howie as far as this kid goes, drafting him out of Duke. When I saw his tape coming out of college, he played a lot of positions at Duke, you know, but most of the league had him as a nickel, and that's where he played. So I have trouble seeing Nick making that move. I think you're going to see this kid outside and see if he's an upgrade over what they have.
Mm. And then if I could ask you to put your GM hat on, because there was a rumor today from Charles Robinson from Yahoo saying that some high-ranking people in the league believe that Howie Roseman is trying to make a play for Myles Garrett. And the deal that Robinson brought up was 3 first-round picks. So as a general manager, he is a great player, no doubt, Myles Garrett. How do you measure the value of what that one player can bring versus the future value of those 3 picks? And if you were in that position, how would you decide that?
Well, I mean, I think what Howie has shown is he's developed his reputation, you know, as Trayer Howie or whatever you want to call him, but he's been really good at making moves throughout the year, not just the trade deadline. So I think every time a big name guy comes up for trade at the trade deadline, potentially in the rumor mill, somebody's going to assign him to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just because how he's so active. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the media mill is going to push people at the Eagles every year. Does he make sense for the Eagles and or for Cleveland to move? The devil's in the details. And, the Eagles would have to figure out a way to get that done, both with the compensation and the salary cap. And also Cleveland would have to get it done. If you're Andrew Berry, their GM, you got to find a way. All that money they just paid him is going to accelerate into dead cap space immediately. So does it even make sense for Cleveland? They already have two first-round picks this year, by the way, mm-hmm. right? So I get a kick out of all the stuff that gets thrown around. I would say the odds of that happening are less than 5%, mm-hmm. maybe less than 1%.
Let's say the Eagles don't do anything major, Mike, at the trade deadline. That they may make a little ancillary move for some depth or what have you. Do you like where the roster is at, and sort of where they're headed from a playing standpoint on the field when you look at the rest of the NFC? Do you like where the Eagles are trending at this point moving forward?
I do. And, okay. The sky was falling a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the process and hanging in there, and that's what's happened the last 2 weeks. I give their coaching staff some credit, Ike. I mean, we talked a week ago about, how they got under center,
mm-hmm.
How they had six offensive linemen. They continued that last week, and they threw in – I think the coaching staff did a nice job with – they threw in some other stuff in the run game, especially some key breakers in shotgun, which I hadn't seen them do much of. They ran counter to the offset back. They ran toss to the offset back into the sideline. Mm-hmm. They did some things they don't usually do is what I'm trying to say over the last couple weeks,
yeah.
which is going to make it harder for teams to defend them going forward. So I like where they're going. I think these next two games, and this is not a newsflash, I think the NFC is wide open and the whole league is wide open. And I think Green Bay and Detroit are going to be two huge tests as to where the Eagles are. And, you're going to come out of a bye and play at Green Bay on a Monday night, come back home on a short week and play Detroit. Two really physical, high-level teams. It would be disappointing. And I'm not even talking about the win-loss results. It would be disappointing to see them come out on the offensive side of the ball and play like they did 3 or 4 weeks ago. Right. That's the way I'm looking at it, is continuing the progress and competing in those two games in all three phases.
Mike, you mentioned the scheme stuff in the offense and specifically the run game. How much of you do you think in that specific game against the Giants was that, and how much was the offensive line just doing a better job at the things that they hadn't done a good job of? We talk to Jordan Mailata every week, who seemed to be pretty frustrated, not just with his own play, but overall he seemed to think that there are a lot of execution issues from the offensive line. So how much of that success did you see just in their execution, and how much was scheme?
How about you, Spike? You're actually being positive here. I like
Oh, luck, man.
Wow. All right. Let's go.
Mike, you and I got to have a talk. You do a show next to Ike. You got to be me. He's positive about everything.
I mean, that was cool. And that was a good way to look at this. And actually, in my notes, that's what I have.
See? You don't have to go back in and compliment. Yeah.
This Toss kid, I mean, he struggled for a couple of weeks. And what I loved with that whole perimeter that I just talked about in the run game, the perimeter run game, it looks to me like he is a better player on the move than trying to fight big bodies in the middle of the offensive line. And I thought he did a really nice job last week. You know, I thought my Lotta had a better game, to be honest with you. You know, I was nervous the first snap of the game. Lane Johnson tripped and fell. Nobody touched him. He just tripped and fell on his kick slide. And I was like, oh, no, really? And the defensive end came flying in, and of course, you know, Jalen had to sprint away from it. But I think the flip side of this, guys, just because you know me, I try to keep things real.
Yep.
With all the good stuff we're talking about, the thing that I think is still lacking is the pass game out of shotgun, and it still needs to get efficient. They had 16 shotgun, and I think it was the first three quarters. I forget what I had it for, but they 16 shotgun passes with 5 scrambles and a sack. Okay. And the best thing they did was in their 2-minute drill. In that 2-minute drill, they hit Smitty twice, a comeback and a slant. Then they hit the tight end Goddard for a touchdown. That looked like a drop-back shotgun offense. But the rest of it, I want to say, of the first 8 shotguns, I think they had 5 scrambles or 4 scrambles, a check down and a screen. It was like, you know, what are you doing? So the efficiency of the shotgun pass offense, which is a huge part of what they do, you know, that's what I'm looking for to continue to develop. And when they got under center and threw the ball last week, like in the first half, they were 2 for 2. Both of them wide open inside dig routes to Smitty, you know, for 42 yards, plus 14, plus 28. So I love the continuation of the under-center play-action game.
Because you're the first person that's brought up, we've all talked about the pass game issues, you know, incessantly throughout the year. You're the first one to point out the shotgun pass game issues. Is that something where they're not, because one of the things that we've talked about with Jalen is you know, letting go of the ball early. Is that what the issue is with the shotgun pass game, or is it a bunch of different things that are sort of clouding why why they haven't been successful there?
I think there's some things that we're all just going to have to live with Jalen, okay? And whether or not he's an anticipatory thrower and those kinds of things, you know, the way I look at this thing is, okay, A, Jalen is who he is. And what he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I don't care if you rank him 5 or 9 or whatever, but he's been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. You know you can win with him. Not every quarterback is good at everything. So having said that, that's why I mentioned the 2-minute offense.
Yeah,
they were getting under center. They were in a hurry. The ball was coming out. And it looked like what you would see with other teams when they're in gun. And keep in mind, you're in gun a high percentage of the time when you're throwing the football. So it's not a minor thing, and I'm not trying to be negative at all. I'm just saying when I watched the tape, the only thing that jumped out to me negative on the offensive side of the ball was just continuing to develop the shotgun pass game. And it got, I mean, even before they threw an incompletion near the end of the half, I think it was Smitty on a seam or a skinny post. And I was happy with that because he threw it on time and he threw it over his head because he wasn't wide open, and that's fine in the end zone. This is right before they scored. Those are the kind of throws you want to see keep happening. Mm-hmm. Because literally, I'm looking at my notes, right? Pull my notes out. Here's the shotgun pass game at the beginning of the game. Scramble, screen, plus 12. Scramble, jet sweep, plus 3, check down, scramble. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, first 7 plays in gun. I mean, just not, it's not efficient that way, and it's not sustainable unless you've got a great run game.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you calling. Thanks again,
sir,
for a move. We will talk to you next week. We'll be looking ahead to a huge game, as you mentioned, Monday night against Green Bay. Actually, now that we have you, Green Bay is sort of they've got a great record. They've only lost one game. Of course, they tied to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Every time you watch them, they're sort of like a hard team to figure out from an identity standpoint or how good they actually are. What have you seen from the Packers so far? We'll talk about it next week, but now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, their head coach is their play caller, and I think that He's highly adaptable game to game on what he wants to highlight. And obviously that's a problem, especially when they've got an ability to run the ball with Josh Jacobs, who we drafted out in Vegas. And I love Josh. He's as tough as they come, and he's a special running back. And Jordan Love has developed this year, 13 touchdowns, two interceptions. He's always had a whip for an arm. They drafted the golden kid in the first round. The offensive line's pretty good. So offensively, they're a bit of a headache to deal with because they can kind of take what you don't do well and go attack it.
All right, Mike, we will talk to you next week. Thanks as always, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
There he is. Mike Mayock with his backhanded compliment. That call presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Look, if the team's playing good,
yeah,
I'll be positive. If they're playing bad, I'm going to be negative, Mike.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was awesome. I was not expecting that.
I loved it.
Oh, it's always there.
Like, look at Spike.
It's always
being positive.
Yeah.
So good. And he got a shot in about me having him ninth.
Yes.
Slip that one in there.
Yep,
on to Mayock.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Aaron in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, A?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Aaron?
What up, A?
Yo, what's going on? Hey, Spike, I know you said that, let's just have a good, don't put expectations, let's just watch them. Listen, I'm putting expectations on this year.
No.
You didn't even watch them
last year. You're not allowed to have expectations.
No, I didn't. I haven't watched them the last 2 years. But listen, because we talked about it before you came back. We need wing players.
Yes.
To compete in the NBA, we need wing players. That's what we got. We got wing players. And PG coming back, I got expectations. I won't get down. I won't turn into Chuck.
My fear with the expectations, Aaron, is that they lose two of three, and all of a sudden the sky is falling because they're not going to win the East. You know.
But here's the thing, though. You do a podcast. I don't. I don't have to watch every day. So they go into a little swoon.
You can turn them off.
I can turn them off.
Yep.
But listen, I don't want Cooper to Gene on the outside. Listen, I don't want to say anyone's name count because they're not affiliated with WIP, but I watch a couple people doing breakdowns, right?
Yeah.
And Cooper to Gene's best skill set as a defender is his tackling ability. That's his best skill set. Because I'm going to be real. Listen to me. When he's lined up, he gets cooked off the line of scrimmage. I'm just being real. They cook him off the line of scrimmage. He may make up. And we know he's going to make the tackle. So he's not going to be like Keelan Ringo, give up the catch, and then not make the tackle. But off the line, so even if they put him on the boundary, he's still on the outside. He got the sideline to be another defender for him. I don't think he's twitchy enough to be on the outside. Yeah. I don't think he
that's what
that
I'd be
ability.
Worried about. That's what I'd be worried about. Yeah.
Yeah, and he will get exposed on the outside. And we don't want to create another problem.
Yeah, well that is what happens when you move somebody out of, if you think your best solution is to move somebody out of somewhere where it's successful, mm-hmm. then you can create two problems instead of one problem. I think this situation that the Eagles are in right now, though, is they need an outside corner. From what I read all the trade stuff this morning, and apparently the one position that is very hard to find right now in the NFL, if you're looking in a trade, is outside corner. And I think that the issue that they're going to have is it might not be a problem they can solve in the trade market. So then you're left with this. Yes, Cooper is not best on the outside. And this might just be for this season, but are you better just this season with Cooper on the outside than Kelee Ringo or Adoree Jackson or Ja'Cory Bennett? And it seems clear
more
to me.
More than likely.
What's that?
Yeah, more than likely we are better.
Yeah, so I think that is what that would be the argument
That's
for
That's what
it.
They're weighing.
Yeah, the argument for it is, yes, we're not as good there, but we're also we have a good back. They didn't have somebody to go into Cooper DeJean's position that they felt good about, and now maybe they do have somebody that they could put in nickel and they could put Cooper DeJean on the outside. It just might be their only solution this year.
That's true. But you know what helps that coverage? Getting to the quarterback.
Oh, of course.
Not let him sit back there, giving time for a route to develop farther down the field. If he got to get the ball quickly, okay, you catch a 5-yard pass. Who cares? As long as you make the tackle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you know, what I'm about to say, go get Myles Garrett. Go get him.
Oh yeah.
You could trade. I'm not going to say anybody, but anyone on the defense, other than the two young corners,
mm-hmm. and Jalen Carter.
Anyone else can go.
Yep.
But here's the thing. If you're the Browns, do you want players in return? Or do you only want picks? You're the Browns. Like, come on now. Like you. Like do you? Like you're the.
They
Browns.
Might take a Nolan Smith. Because he's young enough.
But you got paid Nolan Smith in a year and a half. Like in a year, you got paid.
Yeah.
So do you want players? Like you're the. Go ahead and go. Well, go tank for one of these bad quarterbacks.
Start over. Yes.
Start over. Don't play hardball. Just like. Myles Garrett, he wanted his money. Give him free.
Know
what I mean,
you know what we should do?
Give him free. Amistad.
We should start calling. There's an Odyssey Cleveland station. We should start calling just as Cleveland fans saying, blow it up, trade Myles Garrett. How about to Philly? You know, we just make them seem, Jimmy Haslam's
like
the owner, right?
Like that,
we should make it seem like it's the right thing to do.
Don't be like the dumb Cowboys and trade him to a team you may have to play in the playoffs.
Right.
And then
trade him the NFC,
then be rumored to try to trade for Max Crosby. And hold up, right quick. On basketball. I didn't know the Pelicans traded an unprotected pick for a player. What were they thinking?
Oh, dude, in the draft. So Joe Dumars traded up to get Derek Queen, right? They traded up to an unprotected first round pick to move up to like ninth or something.
Yeah, 2025 Jahlil Okafor.
Dude, everyone in the NBA looked at that trade and said, what are they doing?
Why are teams allowed to do that? Just like the NFL should force Cleveland Browns to trade Myles
Garrett to Philadelphia.
Make a call.
Well, and Andrew Berry owes us.
Yes.
We got him the job. Right?
Yep. Sure, yes.
And we sent them Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
That's a
Come
good
on,
point.
Man.
Come
that's
on.
That's a culture that the Super Bowl champs on.
Come on, Ed. I say we start calling tomorrow. We start calling the Cleveland station tomorrow.
We need to hold bad organizations accountable. You drafted a great player, but you did nothing with almost a decade you had that player. Time to give him up.
Yep.
You got to give him up.
All right,
no reason.
All right, we got to go.
All right, broski.
All right, Aaron.
So when you have people call in, when we send them to, we sick them on
the Cleveland station,
they have to call in and start barking like a dog.
Yeah.
Dog pound.
Yo, we got to get rid of Myles Garrett, man.
That's just a good idea.
We got to rebuild.
And when you call in, mask your accent.
Yeah.
None of that.
Yeah.
None of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring him home.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Send him to Philly.
Yeah.
You got to mask it and start with a dog pound.
All right. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers with locations in Montgomeryville, Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers minutes from everywhere online at marks-jewelers.com. Not a question here, just to note that Jack did post on the afternoon show Twitter a photo of Joe DeCamera putting his bare foot on the counter here. Yeah, so you can see that disgusting show.
The YouTube was able to pick it up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. Jack, what do you have coming up in the top five at five?
Ooh, a weekly tradition. The favorite things that have happened in the last 24 hours.
There it is. A tradition
unlike any other.
Yeah, try not to well up.
Yep. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.